Hello, I'm Dorothy. In the mid-1990s, a group of older women shared their experiences of feminism at 10:40 dinner and discussion evenings. Their stories were recorded on tape. The podcast that you're about to hear is made from one of these recordings. The following questions shaped their stories. What attracted you to feminism? How has feminism impacted on your life? What have been your positive experiences of feminism? Have there been any disappointments? And what are your issues now? This is my story.
I don't know if everybody knows what the questions are. The first one is, what attracted me to feminism? And that was really difficult, actually, trying to think about what it actually was, to condense it down. And what I came up with was really surprising to me, that it was my failure to find joy in being a mother and a wife. I mean, it really was that concrete. I could start at that point, but I thought I'll give you a little bit of background first, and then you might see how that fitted in, that failure to find pleasure in being a wife and a mother. I suppose I had a history of rebellion against norms of various kinds. I grew up in a very, very tiny country town on the river, Murray River, called Mulwala. Probably nobody's ever heard of it.
It's about... My family come from Mulwala.
Yeah. I've always felt connected to you. When I went out to Blacktown that time, I thought, this is home. Okay. Oh, how amazing. I've never met anyone ever who knew where my whaler was. Wow. Okay. So my family were very working class, and they were very fundamentalist religious. They belonged to the Church of Christ, you know, that sort of fundamentalism. And I was the fourth child of six, and we lived on the edge of town, close to the munitions factory, actually. That was physically, and I suppose metaphorically we were on the edge too, you know, because we were the only people who belonged to that church in the town. So it's a very sort of marginalising experience to grow up and have to go to church three times a day on Sundays and all those sorts of things. Not allowed to dance, not allowed to listen to the radio, not, you know, all those sorts of things. But I'm sure that you all know about those sort of things. I went to a tiny school and I went to year nine. Been at nine yet? Did my intermediate certificate. I always had this view of myself that I was going to do something or be somebody, but I couldn't see that for a long time, that it was actually going to come to any kind of fruition. I actually left the town when I was 17, as soon as I possibly could. Well, actually, I got engaged. I was a bit out of control as a teenager in the town, I suppose as a means of putting the brakes on myself or whatever. But anyway, I got engaged. And then it seemed like engagement, marriage followed engagement, and I hadn't figured on that. I just thought it'd be nice to have a diamond ring. So when he talked about getting married, I actually shot through, like, you know, really, really quickly. I resigned my job and I'd left the town in 2 weeks, you know, from when he said, when are we going to set the date? So I went to Melbourne and I was pretty out of control. I won't go into the details of that. You all guess about the sorts of things I'm talking about. I suppose I was one of those girls who actually thought herself powerful. But of course I wasn't, and I made some terrible, terrible mistakes. But I always had this sense that I was in control of my life, but the evidence was to the contrary, I wasn't at all. So there was always that sort of peculiar contradiction always operating, and still does actually, a lot of the time. Yeah, so my first job was as a checkout chick, you know, checkout girl. And I did that because you got paid male wages. So I was pretty sort of streetwise in a funny kind of way and very naive at the same time. I didn't sort of, by that time, I didn't see much of a future for myself, actually. I didn't see myself getting married, actually, but I didn't see myself really having a career either. But I think I was living in some kind of fantasy world where it was suddenly going to happen to me rather than me have to actively do something about it. So I drifted off to Melbourne when I was 20, to Sydney when I was 20. And I met this guy after a couple of years and I actually decided to get married.
And I was talking to someone about this today, and I admitted for the first time to somebody, and this was really, that I actually knew that I didn't love him when I got married. And that was a really, to admit that even today was like, oh, you know, like you have to pretend that you do. And I knew that I didn't. I actually knew I didn't. But he was very ambitious and going somewhere, and I wanted to be there. I wanted to be middle class and wealthy and somebody. That's how I thought I would be. So we got married and sort of lived in Melbourne and lived in Adelaide and had a pretty good time, and babies didn't sort of really enter into it until we came back to Sydney and people started to hassle me. And I think I started to hassle myself too. What was I on about that I didn't want babies? After about 5 years, I decided that I would have children, and then I found I couldn't. And I was furious. I felt like it was the first time I'd really come up against that sense of powerlessness, that I actually wanted to do something, had made a decision, and then found that I couldn't. Ultimately, it turned out to be him who was the problem. But anyway, I went through all the stuff, because that was what women did, you know. I'd had a few backyard abortions in Melbourne, and so I went through a big heavy guilt trip about that. Oh, that must mean that I'm infertile and all that sort of thing. I got pregnant, and I felt terrific. I thought it was great. It was a choice I was making. It was an active thing I was doing. And then I had this baby, no problems, did it all fine, you know. A textbook, you know, that kind of thing. Mm. Everything according to, read everything, do everything. Determined to make it work. And I wasn't depressed after I had her. But I just went into this total decline from somebody who was working, had her own money. We were living at St Ives at the time, and there was a whole social sort of scene that you flitted in and out of, or that I did. And I was very conservative. I had the same views as all the people who were up there. I mean, I was a bit of a rebel still, but within a safety limit. You know, I never went too far so that people rejected me. But when I had this kid, I couldn't believe what hit me. It was like my whole sense of who I was just went, and I felt like I was nothing. I spent days ringing up places trying to find out where I could become somebody. Like universities I'd ring up to try and find out how I could get in. I mean, how I was going to do it, I didn't know. I mean, I had a baby, you know. But I really felt like I had to find an identity that was outside of being a mother. Of course, I had a husband who was, he had actually pretty well arrived at that point. He would sort of stop. And he would be working until 10 o'clock at night. So, you know, I had that huge long time, and the emptiness of that was incredible. So, of course, what happened, like a number of other women who've talked, as I picked up the feminine mystique. And that blew me out. I couldn't believe that. It was like it was written for me. And that really had a tremendous impact. I wanted to leave St Ives. It actually changed me right then. Like, I didn't even process it. Like, all the processing had gone on first, then I read this, and then I was able to act. We moved from there, and we went and rented a place in Manly, and I felt more comfortable. I was back with my working class sort of people, and I let go of a whole range of friends that I'd had, and got pregnant again. And then things really got bad. I read The Second Sex. And then I read The Female Eunuch. It was all downhill in terms of my marriage, my kids, the whole lot from then on. So I guess that what attracted me to feminism at that time was this tremendous sense of the failure of the heterosexual wife-mother dream. That I had always believed, coming from where I'd come from, that this was, even though I'd rebelled against it to some extent, I'd always believed it was somehow going to solve all my problems and was going to be what I needed it to be. So I didn't take much convincing. From 1 6 months to the next, I identified as feminist almost. It was that fast. The next question, how has feminism impacted on my life? Well, obviously, it changed my ideas about who I am and what I can do, really significantly. It influenced the work that I chose to do. I subscribed to the Women's Liberation newsletter. What year was that first came out, Eleanor? 72, 73
years. 23 years.
And there was an ad in it for volunteers to go and work at Helsinki. Women's Refuge had just started. And here I was, I lugged this baby boy out of the refuge for one morning or one day or something. I was unbelievable. And my husband then was furious. He said that it wasn't good for the child and all this sort of thing. Anne Summers was there at the time. And I learned my first good feminist lesson from Anne Summers, actually. I was really naive. I don't know what I was doing, really. But anyway, I was there, and I thought I was doing something that felt right to me. And one morning, Jack Mundy from the BLF turned up with a couple of his mates, and they had all this building material, and they'd come to put up this shed out the back of the house, because they used to knock off all this stuff and bring it to the refuges and build things. Oh, it was a fabulous network of people who supported it. I was the only one on roster, and he said, "Where do you want it?" And I just looked at him, I said, "I don't know." There was an emergency number there, and it was Anne Summers, so this was about 11 o'clock in the morning, so I rang it. I mean, who was I to say where it went? Well, they wanted to put it up. So I rang her, and after a while she answered the phone all groggy, and what happened? She said, "What the fuck do you want? Do you know what time it is?" And I said, "It's 11 o'clock. She said, "I didn't get to bed till 5 o'clock. And I went, "Oh, I'm sorry, you know." I told her what I wanted, and she said, "Well, what? Decide. Just decide." I couldn't believe that I could decide. And that this was what feminism was about. Oh, God. No. I never met her. I don't ever had that contact with her. Anyway, soon after that, I went to preterm, the abortion clinic, I'm sure you all know, and I got training there as a counsellor, and my marriage ended. And feminism allowed me to let the kids go with their father instead of feeling like I had to be custodial parent, which was pretty difficult even with a lot of feminists at that time. I got a bit of shit about, questions, you know. But anyway, I did that. Then I wanted to live alone after I decided I wasn't heterosexual anymore. I wanted to live alone. I wanted to be in my own house. You know, things that I'd never thought I would do. And here I was, just radically changed in a matter of, I suppose, 4 or 5 years, just dramatically changed. So what have been the positive experiences, aspects of feminism? I suppose my experience has given me a sense, it's given me the knowledge that it's possible to change. It's changed myself, the way I view things, the way I view the world, my beliefs, everything. Well, that's pretty important for me. Working in women's services has been absolutely amazing. It's been so positive. I became a founding member of the Bessie Smythe Foundation after we all left, the feminists left preterm, and set up the first feminist abortion clinic. And that was just, I was very politically naive, but my heart was just so there, you know. I suppose I was an activist without the theory. I just knew that what I was doing was about my experience, you know, the experiences I've had of backyard abortions and all that sort of stuff. So it was very powerful for me. I went to university when I was 45, and that was the biggest wow of my life. I mean, it was just amazing. I had no idea that I would have such a great time. The other things about feminism is that it's actually challenged me just to think, you know, like race, class, everything. The only disappointment that I've had is that so many women reject feminism. That, to me, is inexplicable. I just can't understand. And that we haven't transformed gender power relations. You know, like, I reckon, that's a big disappointment. And the issues that I have now are around ageing, around how to think about the future in terms of me and the issues that face me as somebody at 54 with mental health problem. And also I'm interested in theory. Okay, feminist theory, and how post-structuralism in particular can be used by feminists.